Ballison, and I'm talking with a Bronx mom who has chosen to remain anonymous in order to protect her family's privacy. She'll be describing the mental health challenges her young adult daughters faced during the pandemic. I'd like to start by asking you, who are all the members of your immediate family? How old is each person, including yourself? And where does everyone live?
So I have my household. We are five. My oldest daughter is 24. My second daughter is 21. My son is 9. My husband is 43. And myself. My oldest daughter lives 4 blocks away from me. And my youngest daughter lives in the house, still here. My son, who is 9, still lives in the house, of course. I'm sorry, 11. For whatever reason, I don't see him growing. And my son, and my husband, who is 44, and myself. And so currently 4 in the household.
And how old are you?
I'm 41.
Okay, great. So could you describe what your daughter's lives were like before the pandemic started?
Sure. My oldest daughter, who is 24, had her regular job, going in person, going to the gym, going to outings with friends, communicating with me at least once a day via text or call. Everything seems, you know, normal, like someone who is living independently, doing normal things. My youngest daughter, who is 21, going to college in person. Part-time job, going to the gym, you know, same, going to outings with friends. My son going to school every single day. Right after school, he had taekwondo classes 3 times a week in person. My husband working, of course, commuting, and myself too, like working and commuting every single day.
So how did things change during the pandemic, and when did you realize that your daughters were having serious problems?
At the beginning, everything seems to be normal, but I think they hit a point when they realized that, you know, things were not getting back to normal soon enough. It started actually with my youngest daughter. And it was about to be her 21st birthday, and she was looking forward to go to outside the country for an outing with her friends to celebrate her birthday. And she had so many plans around, and she was getting anxious with the days, thinking like, is this going to be over? Is this going to be over? That's on her personal level. In terms of school, it was hard for her to process the fact that she wasn't going to school anymore. She wasn't receiving instructions in person, which for her was the best thing. Not used to taking full online classes. It was a huge change. She was on denial of, why do I have to sit on a computer to take classes? And not having enough instructions from her professors to complete assignments. Because at the beginning, it wasn't like it is now. You know, there is more structure. It wasn't a structure. So that also threw her off a little bit and added more to her anxiety. I did notice that for about 2 weeks prior to the breakdown, she started to sound off, started to say things that was out of the ordinary. But I thought that, you know, because it was the first time I was seeing that, it didn't ring a bell to me. You know, I thought that it was, you know, out of the blue thing. And I didn't even think that it was an issue until I will say May 16th at night. And she couldn't go to sleep. I thought that because of her age, they don't go to sleep early, of course. They stay up until whatever time they want, chatting with friends, or even wrapping up with classes because it was towards finals. And I would say May 17th, like around 1 o'clock in the morning, she got up and she went to the bathroom, and you know, I noticed that the lights were on, and I went outside my room and I asked her what was going on, because I heard pacing, you know, when someone is walking, but not like the regular, but pacing back and forth. And when I went out, she shared that she was having an episode, and I was really shocked. I was like, what do you mean like an episode? And it's when everything started to change and be different. And she started screaming, you know, became a little bit aggressive. I didn't know what to do. So her father got up and asked what was going on. We both were like, it was the first time we were seeing an anxiety attack. And I immediately also called my other daughter, and she advised to call 911. She was like, Mom, you have to call 911 because we all don't know what's happening. And then we did call, and EMS arrived, made an assessment, and recommended for her to go to the hospital. And unfortunately, she was then 21, and because of the pandemic, we couldn't go with her. So it was really difficult. It was a difficult morning. It was a difficult day afterwards, and it became a lot. She was hospitalized for about 4 weeks, and we had little contact with her because the restrictions of the pandemic, because the movement from hospital to hospital, because her age didn't allow the hospital personnel to provide details. Of course, that because of HIPAA, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, it was a little bit frustrating, but when she regained consciousness, she started to tell the hospital personnel to get in touch with me, and this is how little by little we started to learn how things were from her end.
How long was it that she was out of contact with you before she was able to tell the hospital personnel to contact you?
I would say like more than a week.
You must have been frantic.
Yes. So it was us calling and calling, and you know, I would say I had an army of family members trying to get in touch. We knew that she was there. We didn't know. We knew that, you know, she was getting treated, but we didn't know what type of treatment, medication, you know, when she was moved from, you know, the emergency room to a regular room, to from the emergency care, from one hospital to another hospital. It was really hard. I would say, you know, it's like dancing under the rain. It was really difficult. It was really difficult. But
she was transferred to a different hospital?
Yes, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. She was. She was. She was, because what she was taking at first, of course, they had to make an assessment to see what was the issue when she was taken to the emergency room. When they did the assessment, they found out there was mental health. So she had to be transferred to a facility that provided help with what she had at the moment.
So what happened after she got in contact with you?
Then she got desperate because she didn't understand why she was there. And we had to walk her, you know, start telling her what we knew at the moment and start telling her how to advocate for herself and who to talk to be able to learn, you know, her status and how things were, like any medical outcome. That was the first thing. And once she was aware and she signed a consent where she appointed me to be the person to have information of where she was standing in terms, you know, medical. And it's when things started to move, because then I had to press a lot from my end. They had limited personnel at the hospital, and that made it so difficult. Not be able to go, not be able, they didn't have, because they had most personnel assigned to the COVID emergency. So the lack of personnel at the facility also didn't help. So I think it made her stay longer than necessary. And we didn't even know what medication she was given. I wasn't given that information until she was released.
And you said it was 4 weeks that she was in the hospital?
About 4 weeks. Mm-hmm.
And then what happened after she was released?
She came home, and I was able to see, we had to go and pick up prescriptions. I wasn't familiarized with the medication that she was taking, and apparently she was given more than what she needed. So when she came out, she started to experience side effects of the medication she received at the hospital. It was really tough because it started with shakes, right? Losing her motor skills, defiant and old, I would say. She became like a baby. And what I decided to do, because we were scared, we didn't know what was happening. She was unable to hold a spoon. She wasn't able to feed herself. She wasn't able to change. She wasn't able to get on the bed. And I decided to take her to her primary doctor. And I made an appointment. Of course, I labeled it as an emergency appointment. And we were able to get in touch with the primary doctor, of course, via phone, because we couldn't go in person. And immediately I got in contact with a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist went and put in paperwork to get the documentation released from the hospital where she was at, because he needed to know what was going on. And it took like, I would say, a week for her primary doctor and for the psychiatrist to see her in person. And that made a huge difference, because what they found out was the high dose of medication given to her while she was at the facilities, especially before she left, made a strong side effect on her body. And she received a prescription to lower the side effects, I would say, and therapy. I was giving her physical therapy via, I received instructions into what to do. And little by little, she started to get back, you know, those motor skills that she lost. But it took time. You know, it took, I would say, like a whole army, because we all had to help. And little by little. And she was ready to take a summer class in July. By July, she was taking a class, an online class.
So during the time that you had to help her with motor skills, I guess an army, meaning you, your husband, and your son and your older daughter, you and your husband were working at home, and your other daughter was also working from home, right?
That is correct. No, actually, my husband wasn't working from home. He works for a hotel industry, so he was home. I was working. I actually only took 2 days off during the whole period of time. And yes, I was working.
So that must have been complicated, trying to work from home and deal with your daughter at the same time.
Exactly. It was really difficult. It was. And I have to say that, wow, you know, looking back, I don't even know how I did it, but I did it.
Well, that's very impressive for you and for your family. What happened with the older daughter?
So, with the time, you know, I would say around August, I think after witnessing what happened with her sister and the pressure from working from home and the back and forth, coming here, staying at her place, made her depressed. She did enter into a very deep and dark place. And to the point that she had to resign from her job. She couldn't hold on to that. She lost a lot of weight. She will cry for hours and hours and hours, and started to withdraw herself from her friends. And I became really worried that I have to ask her to move back for a couple of days, because, you know, it was hard for me to be in two places at the same time. So she came home, I would say for about a week, until I secure therapy. And thankfully, she did not need medication based on the psychiatrist's recommendation, because the assessment was that it wasn't a deep depression over time, but it seems to be based on the assessment that she received. There was something, temporary buildup of stress. And I would say by the end of September, she resigned from her job and started to build a different routine and took therapy. So both experience, I would say, the kind of like, if you look at it from another perspective, kind of like the spectrum of how they got. One was, you know, anxiety to the next level. The other one was like a quick, I don't know, depression time. For my oldest daughter, I believe it was way different, because she wasn't home. And even though I would go and do kind of like welfare checks, and I had strong communication with her roommates, it wasn't the same, because I know that she wasn't eating as usual. And that worried me a lot. So I did a lot of cooking. I drop off food a lot. And little by little, I think the stressor of what she experienced with her sister and from work, and then not having the ability to go out, be herself, and connect with friends, also contributed to her state, her emotional state. But therapy was the key, and I would say a strong communication and having, it was mostly myself that was checking. You know, of course, I decided not to have my son involved so young and seeing a lot. And having also summer homework to do. So I had to send him to New Jersey with his godparents for 2 weeks to help me to deal with what I had.
Was the therapy online or in person?
Online.
And for your other daughter also?
Yes, yes.
And they both found that that worked pretty well?
You know, what happened was that they had a change, I would say, 2 or 3 times their therapist, because they felt like they couldn't connect online with the first one they found. I think that one-on-one personal connection when you see someone in person got lost into that new reality that we at. So, but they found one that they both found one that they click in with. And now it's just like a routine checkups. It's not as much as lengthy as before.
So how are they doing now?
They're doing really great. We went outside the country during the holidays, during the Christmas holidays. And it helped a lot to move to a different environment and do some planning for the upcoming year. I found that lifted their spirit a lot. And upon our arrival to New York, my youngest daughter decided to move with my oldest daughter for 2 weeks. To get into the mood of exercising, applying for jobs, you know, completing online applications, cooking together, like to reconnect again. And now I would say the oldest one is working now. She commutes. She's happy. She's very disciplined. The youngest one found a job as well. And she's really happy going back to the gym, and now got used to taking classes online. And the outlook obviously is very different. I'm very optimistic.
That's great. The older one got a different job from the one that she left, right?
Yes, yes. Actually, she is now working on her field. She decided to take a break from that. And I'm really happy for her for doing that while she finds exactly what she really wants and like. Now she knows what she likes and she knows what she doesn't like, which I think is the key to start to find her career path and her passion. You know, not knowing what you like and what you don't like is the first step. So I'm really proud of that.
And how did this whole situation affect your son? I know you said you sent him to New Jersey, but he must have been aware of what was going on, affected by it in some way.
Exactly. You know, he stopped interacting as he used to be, you know, being a little bit more quiet for and being more like to himself. So what we did was... aside from his regular Taekwondo classes, we will take kind of like dating. Like it would be a day with me, it would be a day with his dad when we used to go out. Of course, following all the recommendations to protect ourselves and protect others. Going to parks and trying to have talks and see where he was at. I'm scared mostly, you know, and you could see now that he acts when someone is not home. If his sister is not home and she hasn't got home, he gets worried. He acts. If his dad goes out and he has taken forever, he asks, you know, at what time they come in, are they coming? And I think it was because he saw the absence of one of his family members for quite long, and when that person came back, she wasn't herself anymore until, you know, time until she got better, you know. So you could see that today. But of course, we tried not to give him details. He didn't need to, you know. So you know, everything according to his age and his level of understanding. We didn't want to overwhelm him with what was going on exactly and precisely. So we did everything that we could. And of course, I know that he will need therapy as well. You know, it's just really hard to have everybody taking therapy. I think I'm a true believer that one cycle has to be closed before we open another one. It would be really overwhelming.
It must be kind of difficult for you and your husband as well.
Yeah. Not an easy situation. Not at all. Never before.
When you were out of the country during the holidays, did you go to your home country and see relatives?
Yes. Yes.
How did that help?
A lot. We were able to see my mom. So the kids were able to see grandma. We were able to also other relatives that lives here. They live here in New York. Travel. So, you know, having all family together living on the same roof helped a lot. You know, the noise, the back and forth, like the prepping things together, it helped a lot. I would have to say it helped a lot. We did a lot of sightseeing, of course.
Did COVID change the way you got together with your family in any way?
Back home, I would say sort of, because we couldn't invite a lot of friends over that we know. So it was basically us that were tested, and so we somehow had to stay close to each other and not being exposed that much. And whenever we went out, you know, we couldn't, like, it's very different when you have more friends, right? And you are restricted even to see your friends and just to talk over the phone and to say hi from, like, a far distance. I would say somehow, yes, of course, it had an impact. But no matter what, it was really great. Because here, although I have a lot of family members, we don't leave close by, and of course we're not in the same roof, so having everybody in the same roof was a good thing, you know.
So is there anything else you'd like to say about what you and your daughters experienced?
I think we see things now from a different perspective. Started to not to have like long-term plans and to be vigilant in terms of like if I'm not feeling okay, I have to communicate. I have to communicate where I am, because we cannot forget what happened, and we don't know if another episode might come. You know, so we have to learn to acknowledge what happened and to live with it, and also to not to be afraid of continuing life as normal as possible, because we can also hold on too tight and just stay on that stage. You know, we have to be able to jump that hoop. yes, it have changed a lot. For me personally, very different, a different stage. A lot of respect for mental health professionals, and seeing others going through that is like, it hits home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's different. Absolutely, it's different.
Well, I'm really glad that your daughters are doing better now, and that they were able to get the help that they needed and still need.
Yeah, I'm also happy that they were open, because of the type of communication that we have, the type of family ties that we have. I was able to see, I was able to be there. I'm really happy because there are so many things happening out there, and we experience it more and more now, you know, after being home for such a long time. We see, you know, more incidents outside, and whenever I see that, you know, I go back and check, you know, you kind of like get afraid, you know, are you okay, where are you at, you know, is everything okay? Because we see it more frequently, it's more like we have to deal with it more. It's more exposed, I would say.
You mean people other than your daughters? You see,
yes, having yes, health yes, challenges? Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
It sounds as though you really knew how to work the system to make things better for your daughters. And could I ask a question about the kind of health insurance you have that enables you to get that help for them? What kind of health insurance do you have?
I actually have two health insurance. My primary comes from my husband, which is Aetna. Which is the one that I use the most. And my secondary, which is, I don't use it that often. My mind just went blank. Emblem Health, which is the secondary.
So both you and your husband have health insurance through your jobs?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm asking because I know that for many people, getting adequate mental health care is a problem because they either lack health insurance or their health insurance doesn't provide good mental health coverage.
I agree. I think we were privileged to have both. I noticed that when one didn't cover, the other one did. Of course, you know, there's the regular copays, which is nothing compared to actually what the insurance covered. So I didn't have to worry about insurance for a bit, you know. I'm really grateful for that. I didn't have to go out there with nothing. We have a primary and we have a secondary, and that really helped a lot. It helped us a lot financially, I would say, because we didn't have to pay a lot out of pocket. We had to pay, but it wasn't significant compared to the bill.
So again, I'm really glad that your daughters are doing better. And anything else that you want to add that you haven't said thus far?
You know, I have to say that working from home, it has advantages and disadvantages. The advantage that I have is that I could see them every day and I could be there right away if something happens. And even if something doesn't happen, just to be there and I don't have to run, it gives me a good, you know, sense of relief. But also, for me, you know, I miss the commute. I miss the interaction with coworkers. It sounds crazy. I miss the rush. I miss the separation from work and home. I miss that. And I'm looking forward to go back. I'm looking forward to really going back into our lives prior to COVID.
Yeah, we all are. Well, thank you so much. It's been a fascinating conversation. And I hope that other people who are either having mental health challenges themselves or have relatives with mental health challenges will be able to take something from your experience here. So thanks again.
No, thank you. Thank you. And I really hope that, you know, with the transcript or the presentation of the my little input into the project can bring light to others who, like me, that, you know, went through or will go through, that there is hope. We just have to be strong and live one day at a time.
All right. Well, thanks again.
Thank you, Ellen.